Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, here we are, day five, our last day of our teaching, and we're wrapping it up today, called What About Tithing? Oh, man, what about it? The New Testament doesn't teach tithing. I agree. But the New Testament teaches grace giving, which is really so much more. 10% is really... it's not some lofty ideal. It would be far below it, actually. And we've been looking at a lot of things in the Old Testament before the law came and then during the law and after about tithing. And no, the New Testament does not teach tithing, but it teaches some principles that apply in the New Testament that we see spelled out in the New Testament very clearly. And we've been looking at all of that. And we first looked at Genesis 14, and we talked about the principle of thankfulness. Then we looked about Genesis 28, the principle of stewardship. Leviticus 27 the next day, the principle of purpose. And then yesterday, Deuteronomy 14, the principle of provision. Again, the principle of thankfulness is that it's about a grateful heart. We give because God has given to us, not to get something. We don't use tithing or giving as a means to get something or to get God off our backs. It's because we want to. And we've been given all spiritual blessings and so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should want to give. And we must do it. It's the right thing because these things that we have, even though if we worked for them and we got them, God gives us the power to do that. That's the second principle we saw in Jacob's life, the principle of stewardship. It's not that we own the stuff. God owns it and loans it to us. We're just walking through this. We're supposed to be sojourners and instruments in the hands of God instead of using tithing or giving like trying to make God our instrument. Or we say, God's on the throne, but we're still the foreman, as it were. We're still directing our lives. And so the principle of stewardship says, I recognize God is the giver, God is the sustainer, God is the creator, and He's the one that made me born again by His Spirit, and I am going to give, I'm going to purpose in my heart to give part of that I've been given. And so the principle of stewardship obviously would be a lot more than some imaginary figure that the New Testament doesn't really talk about. We saw it in the Old Testament because the principle was there. And the principle number three that we looked at was the principle of purpose. It was incorporated in the law, this idea of giving a tenth, because it was like a tax to help the priests, the Levites, who had no inheritance. They were given some cities, but they weren't given a big portion of the land. And they were working in the tabernacle and in the temple. And they were to be given the tithe to help support them. And we saw that carries over in the New Testament. Not some 10%, but the principle of giving. Of giving to the spiritual leadership to help support there. And then again, yesterday we looked at Deuteronomy 14, the principle of provision, basically saying that God provides for His people through His people, for the marginalized and for those that don't have, and about sharing with one another and rejoicing in that and all of that. We talked about Jesus cleansing the temple. Go back onto voiceofvision.org and see parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 of What About Tithing? Now, Luke 11:42 says this, "For you tithe," this is Jesus, "for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." And he's saying you have to tithe. He's saying, look, you're supposed to give. You're supposed to do these things. But you don't do that as some kind of duty you discharge, and then, you know, everything's okay because you gave. Now you can act any old way you want to. He says you ought to be giving, because it shows your heart, but you really don't have the heart you think of because you neglect justice and the love of God. You can't do one and not the other. You can't think, who is my neighbor, so that you can exclude others. Isn't that funny? Now, how many times have you wondered, though? You heard someone else wonder if they're supposed to tithe based on gross or net. You know, getting all the way down here, day five, and we're talking about tithing, and people say, well, the New Testament doesn't teach tithe. Or people say, well, I want to give in some way, so should I give based on my gross or net? Well, you know, without even having to consider whether tithe is a New Testament ideal, you got to think about something. If you ask net or gross, you're in the wrong ballpark altogether. You're thinking, what do I have to do? That's a fear thing, not a faith thing. And then people say, oh, okay, I get it. You're staying on the gross. No, I'm not. I'm saying that's a gross misrepresentation of what giving is all about. It's not, I give this much and then I've done my duty. You know, you could be fitting Jesus into every box that you've compartmentalized in your life. I go to church this much, I give this much, I read the Bible this much, I memorize the Bible this much, I studied my Greek, I gave to missionaries, I did all these types of things, and God still not have your heart. That's what Luke 11:42 is saying. They do all these things and think they're right, and they're not right. Well, we could apply that into so many areas, but let's just talk about this whole thing of giving. You see, you're in the wrong ballpark when you think, what do you have to do? It's not that we have to give, it's that we get to give. Do you understand that? It's not a question of a duty to be discharged, but of a devotion to be discovered. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Give as He's purposed in His heart. See, friends, you don't have to try and find out exactly the line where you need to start. Most are doing that so as to know what they can avoid doing. Again, it's like the parable of the Good Samaritan. The lawyer wanted to know who his neighbor was, not so he could know who to love, but so he could know who he didn't have to. The same happens when it comes to the matter of giving to the church. It's not that people don't want to give too little. It's that they don't want to give too much. You can give whatever you feel is your obligation and discharge your duty, and God still not have your heart. Yes, in the New Testament, we are commanded to give. But even if you found some imaginary line where God was happy with it, that's only a start, not a finish. Luke 17:10 says, after you've been done all you've been commanded to do, you still say, we are unprofitable servants because we didn't do anything extra. We just did what we're supposed to do. See, we're just supposed to give. We're not supposed to worry about how much. We're supposed to give what we can. We're supposed to give to be good stewards. What can we get away with giving in a sense? We're supposed to give because we want to, because we have been giving things. Not to get things, but because we have been giving them. We're supposed to give to help the service of the church and its ministries. We're supposed to give to help the church and others that need the help. So it's not that we have to, it's that we get to. Now, if we're going to be looking to get a fight, does the New Testament teach that we must tithe? I've been saying it every day. No, it doesn't. But it does tell you that we should give and that we should be cheerful givers. And everybody that wants to wrangle over, you know, we don't have to tithe, or some other imaginary line or limit, usually are not the most cheerful people to be around, are they? It's about faithfulness, folks. But the one you almost never seem to hear the preachers and teachers talk about, or when they do, you go temporarily deaf, is that giving is also a matter of worship. It's not obligation like, you better give off the gross, dude, or God's going to be mad. No. Giving is worship. If we love a sports team, let me bring this home to you. If we love some sports team and we watch their games, we pay to see them at the stadium, we buy their souvenirs, we wear their apparel, which we paid for, we dress our little kids in the little team clothes, and we wear the shoes that the big stars are wearing, and we learn all the new buzzwords and new catchphrases of those whom we worship. Now follow me here. And realize that giving is a form and a part of worship. Now, I'm not trying to say that everything we give to is what we worship, but what is foremost in your minds, that is the thing we give our utmost to. Think about that sports team that you see people love and how they defend and promote them. And don't you wish people would just do that for Jesus? They just go all out. We'd have to tell them like they did in the Old Testament one time that, no, you don't have to give anymore. We've got too much. That's what we do with our teams. We root for them even when their season isn't going so well. And we praise them when it is, and we're not ashamed of it when they lose a game. We speak how they're eventually going to bounce back. We know who the second and third running back is and who they just signed up and all that kind of stuff. And you say, well, that's what a fanatic is. Well, Frank, we're supposed to be fanatics about Jesus Christ. Like, we're going to heaven. We're stewards of what He's given us now, richly all things to enjoy. So we give our money, our time, our energy, our devotion. Where we give, are you listening to me? Where we give is where we worship. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Matthew 6:21. How can you say you don't have to give and still believe that God has your heart? Now, I'm not asking you to give more money. Giving doesn't necessarily mean you're more devoted in that sense. It's about the not the quantity, but the quality. So if you're down in cash this month, but have an extra amount of time, then give what you have to give. If you're an old person and you're on a fixed budget, and you're in a nursing home, and that thing costs $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 a month, you know, it's not like you're going to church anyway. Hopefully they're coming to you like we try to do every week. We go to a nursing home every week and preach and teach there. We never ask them for money. They got enough worries as it is. If they want to, sure they can, but, you know, that's not what we're there to do. But what they can do is they can come there and they can listen and they can sing with us and they can mentor young people and let them see a good example of an old oak that's still burning on fire with God, even though their life is physically, you know, going down the tubes. But inwardly, they're being renewed day by day. So what you have, that's what you give. The Bible in Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in that same passage, Jesus says, why call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? And he said, you're supposed to give. We saw that at the beginning of this broadcast, Luke 11:42. Don't neglect giving. So what do you talk about the most? Where are you giving your lip service to? What are you giving your eye service to, your ear service to, your hands, your heart, your wallet? Is it Jesus or the football team? See, now we're getting personal here, aren't we? Jesus or the football team or your favorite movie star or hit song? I'm not saying you can't go to watch a football game. I love football. Go watch a football game. Yeah, you can pay. If you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl and you have some extra money, well, go. I'm not saying you have to give. Instead, remember what Judas said. You should have not done this and put this expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. We could have fed the poor. Of course, he was a crook. But Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. And it's not saying, well, we can't do anything about it. We always have poor. He's saying, look, don't make yourself feel guilty because you're doing nice things for people. You don't have to solve all the world's problems. You give to God by giving to God's people. Be good to them or the household of faith, but all people, Galatians 6:10. But is what's orienting your life everything else besides Jesus? Whatever it is that is the majority of your attention, that's what has your devotion. What do you think of first in the morning? So let's get practical. Don't give the church money for your light bill. You know, if you have money for your light bill, don't give the church that money. But no, neglect the church just to buy a fancy new light fixture. Own stuff, don't let it own you. But better yet, realize you don't own stuff that's on loan to you. We don't have to debate whether or not tithing is commanded or even recognized in the New Testament. That's just wrangling over a pet, you know, over a disputed idea, like 1 Timothy 6:4, Paul tells Timothy, don't do that. It's not a matter of doctrine. The truth is that for most, the simplest way to be disciplined is by giving the first 10% right at the top. And that's why you see it taught all the time. We don't have to argue. But if you look at a lot of people that teach against tithing, what they're really trying to do is say they're against giving. They don't have to give. They try to justify why they don't need to give. And you might be surprised at what some of the discipline in their lives looks like. Now, if you're saying, hey, look, I'm not doing that, but I'm giving more than 10%, but not tithing per se, wonderful. Just make sure you're honoring God by what you're giving Him, giving Him your heart. And that does include your wallet. See, the concept of giving in the New Testament is not some rule we have to keep in order to keep God off our back or curry favor with God. But so we'll put first things first, and God helps us take care of the rest. This teaching that we've been giving you shouldn't make you give less, but want to give more as a blessing to others because you have been blessed to help other people out, to be a good steward of what you have. Giving is a blessing, not a burden. Please don't give out of compulsion. You can't give because you feel forced and expect God to understand. As long as you see it as a burden, it will not have the effect you desire. God knows your heart, and you can give and give and give, but if you don't do it out of love, it will profit you nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:3. We can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. That's about all I have to say on this matter, friends. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. We'll see you on the Voice of Vision broadcast next time. God bless you.
Yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.